What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash. We got a special episode for you guys today. This is not an episode of The Outsider's Edge, but every now and then, the landscape of the professional wrestling world does a few crazy things, needs to be broken down, and sometimes it needs a little head trauma. So, the Head Trauma Podcast collaboration is back. In conjunction with Brainbuster Radio and Visionary Wrestling Network, I have my good brother, my English brethren, Max himself, Darren Kirkby. What's happening, brother?
Hello, yes, it's about time we had a bit of head trauma. It's been a head trauma week for me week, and AEW just really just put the icing on that cake. So, yep, let's vent. Let's get some of these wrestling controversies like under wraps and get them sorted, and yeah, let's just talk some shit about wrestling, man. Let's talk some shit about wrestling.
So I really want to focus on like a lot of the AEW controversies of the past couple weeks, but I do want to run through a few other ones that have happened in as recently as yesterday. Like Seth Rollins got bullied off of Twitter because of a tweet that Sasha did mocking his tweet, in which he responded, and then they lost their mind and he's off. Like, these social media is the best thing that's ever happened to the world in wrestling, and it's the worst thing that's ever happened to the world in wrestling. You know, it's, I don't even know where to begin. When the world champion and one of the two, three undisputed top people of your company has to get off of Twitter, like, there's something wrong there.
Definitely.
You know, then you can even go further back to the Lacey Evans video she made a couple weeks ago, where she was in character with the Mountie cop in Canada, that a lot of people lost their mind, and she had to tweet as Macy Estrella instead of Lacey Evans. Like, there's been a lot of little small controversies floating around. Anything like off the top of your head you can think of in recent times?
Yeah, I mean, you can even look at the Kenny Omega video, what he did recently, where he was clearly in character, and he was saying about how NXT stars would be on his undercard. And wrestling Twitter, like I said, it's amazing. I absolutely love wrestling Twitter, but every now and again, that place loses its shit over the most banal things. And what they fail to realise is this is an entertainment it's an entertainment field. These guys are actors. These guys are acting to get you to view their shows. Seth Rollins does not hate Will Ospreay. Kenny Omega does not hate the guys at NXT. These guys are friends. He's even said it in the video himself. These guys are friends. They're just working to promote their business. And sometimes a lot of wrestling fans kind of get suckered in. And for everyone who thinks they're smart about the business, a lot of them end up being a mark for the business. And it's just the way of the world that wrestling fans, as when they think they know something, it's they're probably the furthest away from actually knowing what's going on.
Well, that's the beauty of kayfabe. Kayfabe never died. It just evolved.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Ospreay Seth situation and the Kenny Omega situation, I gotta admit, I didn't like either of those situations. The reason I didn't like them is simply this. I got no problem with you working. That's your job. That's how you sell tickets and put food on your table. But when you work just to work, in my mind, you're a dick. You should always be working to sell the story, to better something. So Seth just talking shit about Will Ospreay out of nowhere, they're never going to wrestle. At least if they do, it's going to be years down the line. It's not going to be a payoff. Kenny talking to all these people is only going to hurt them because you just call them developmental in character. But when they get more ratings than you, if it does or when it does, you're losing to a developmental brand. So, like, I got no problem with you working. Like, Lacey worked, and that tweet, that video worked.
It
got her heat. That's working, but I don't know how you feel about it, but, like, if you're going to do that, at least let it lead to something that is tangible.
Yeah, I can understand that. For me, I kind of err on the side of remembering that these guys are humans. Humans make mistakes. Humans act like idiots. Humans say dumb shit. And wrestlers are no different. They're just on a bigger stage with a higher number of followers and a lot more spotlight on them. They're still going to say dumb shit. They're still going to be idiots. And that sometimes comes through. The worry is how quickly wrestling Twitter critiques them down to the very finest letter. That's the concern, that they're in under such an immense spotlight that everything they said is so like broken down to the last letter that people are even like figuring out issues that are probably not even there, and a lot of wrestling fans kind of make the issues up in their own heads. I mean, a good example is the Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss stuff. Sasha being the heel, later kicking on Alexa Bliss. I saw 50...
They lost their minds, yeah.
Yeah, I saw 50, 100 accounts of these Alexa Bliss fans saying, Sasha hit... It's well known that Sasha hates Alexa Bliss. I guarantee Sasha does not hate Alexa Bliss. I guarantee Alexa Bliss does not hate Sasha. Them motherfuckers are working. They're working you. And all you Stan fans bat, and you take on these battles. And it's stupid. I mean, I've been on the end of some of the Stans. Obviously, I'm nowhere near as popular as Seth Rollins. But I remember I once said about your boy, Roman Reigns, he's a quality wrestler, but he's not the second coming of wrestling. Oh, my days, I got about 50 death threats in my DMs, and it's like, it's a wrestling program. If I said that about a soap opera, that someone on Days of Our Lives or whatever was not the best actor, I wouldn't expect people to death threat me over that. And it's just weird how wrestling Twitter attracts these kind of obsessive fans almost.
Well, and with the Sasha and Alexa thing, even if they did hate each other, they work too much to do something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's you brought up an interesting point. What is it about this genre of entertainment that breeds this level of diehardism, in some cases toxicity? What is it? And I actually want to get your opinion on that. What I think breeds it is that this is the only genre of entertainment that mixes storyline, story-driven content with real people playing a character all the time in front of live people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but once that movie is over, you know he's Tony Stark. Very clearly. Roman Reigns, we know he's Joe Annoy, but Roman Reigns, when he leaves the arena, drives to the next city, and he's still Roman Reigns. It's Roman Reigns every day. When he gets on Twitter, when he goes to Fox to do an interview to sell the show that morning, he's still Roman Reigns. When he goes to the gym to work out, he's still Roman Reigns. So it's almost to the point where people either can't, don't want to, or aren't allowed to separate that difference. That's why, and this is really going off on a bit of a tangent, but Edge, Edge and Christian, Red Hour Superstar, one of the things that I loved about some of the stuff he says, and I love him in general, he's an amazing person to me, but he always said that is why, that exact thing I laid out, is why when he introduced himself to people, whenever he wasn't on camera, even if he was talking to a kid, never, hi, my name's Adam. Because he had to separate that in his mind.
Yeah, he had to create that separation. Yeah. And I dare say it can be hard for the wrestlers, especially when they're 24 hours out of a day, they be known as this character. It kind of can almost play with your mind a little bit that you are this person, especially when you're getting so many people looking up to you. I think you hit the nail on the head with the reason why it's like this is because people just can't get that separation that this is a show, this is an entertainment show. They're so invested in these characters as the characters that they go to bat for them, even though they're actors, essentially they are the paid actors, and it's weird. Again, it's the only entertainment genre that I know where fans are like this. Where I've never been to a Marvel film or any kind of film where people have been willing to kill over people, or at least say they're willing to kill over people, over Thor, over Hulk.
Comic book fans are almost as bad as wrestling fans. The difference is, comic book fans know it's a character. Their issue is, there's dozens of years of material of this is how I want my character to be. So Jared Leto's Joker, right? People hated it because it wasn't what was on the paper.
Yeah.
And they lost their mind, right? There was a recent controversy on the DC Titans show about Teen Titans. Starfire is a black chick. Well, in the comics, Starfire's orange. I mean, like, what are you thinking? But people lost their mind. Michael B. Jordan played Johnny Storm in the really terribly shitty Fantastic Four reboot. People lost their mind. Idris Elba was up for playing James Bond. People lost their mind. And yes, there are hints of racism in that, but it's ultimately, well, there's probably more racism in the James Bond thing. But the rest of it, it ultimately comes down to people want, they have a list of what they want it to be, what they've been told it is. That's the only difference. In WWE and wrestling, the characters are telling us what they're supposed to be, but we can't let we can't think for some reason that, oh yeah, that's why it's this character.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I've never got into the I mean, I like reading comic books. I've never got into the kind of like the Twitterverse or the behind the scenes kind of thing with comics. But so I've only really seen it from this wrestling Twitter kind of scene. And yeah, it's interesting to look back and just like step back and watch what happens. And I mean, I've seen full grown ass men who I would talk to on a normal day, and they would be absolutely fine, perfectly calm and reasonable. And then the Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks thing kicked up, and it was like, who are these people? They were like a totally different like side of their personalities coming out. And the thing is, if you go in and get involved and start saying, well, you do understand that this is a program, you become a target for that fire. So sometimes it's better to just sit back and let these people have it out to themselves and then talk about them afterwards.
You know, before we move on to the other stuff, I do want to say this, and this is a bit serious, but it's also going to be a bit controversial. And I mean no harm or disrespect or any negative connotation here, but I'm just trying to relay what I see. The genre of wrestling breeds a lot of people who deal with mental issues. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it can be people wrestling, a lot of the wrestling fan base, of course, there's a lot of, well, what is regular, but a lot of normal, regular people. But it breeds a lot of people who are dealing with some sort of ailment, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, whatever, because you see these people and they're gladiators. They're almost like gods in the ring. They're superhuman. They look like they were cut out of stone, and they do these moves that Seth Rollins can do 5 topes and then come and do a 630 Phoenix Splat, all the things that these people can do, right? And so you get kind of beholden to that sometimes, especially when you're a person who's dealing with some of these issues. And the more you think about it, you really gravitate to them in a way that might be preternatural. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah. To put it into a little bit more context, all the wrestling fans that you've ever spoke to, everyone you've asked a question to, I do it for Why We Watch. One of the questions I end up asking is, like when we're doing word association, what does wrestling mean to you? Mm-hmm. And the biggest answer what I'll get, the most popular answer, is wrestling is an escape. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So that there is an indicator that they're having some sort of issues in their life. Now, I'm not saying that every one of them has got mental issues.
Not at all.
Absolutely not. Not at all.
That is not what we're saying.
No, but it's clear that some do. Some absolutely do. Some are incredibly open about it, and some kind of like are embarrassed or they want to like almost bury their heads in the sand over it. That's definitely an issue for another time. And if you feel that you've got any like mental health issues or you need to speak to somebody, absolutely do that. The one thing that this wrestling Twitter is good at is if you have got an issue and you reach out, someone is going to reach back. So there is that. If you were having any kind of issues, like mentally, speak to somebody. We are all here for you. But the underlying fact is that a lot of people do have mental issues and they are fans of wrestling and they get these attachments to these wrestlers. And it's to the character, not to the person. And I think that's the defining factor with a lot of fans that they get so attached to these characters that they almost feel like they have to defend that character to the death rather than realize that that's a human being who absolutely can defend themselves if they want to. And the majority of wrestlers, when they leave Raw, they leave SmackDown, they go back to being the normal person. But you don't see that. The wrestling fan doesn't see that. They just see this week in Chattanooga, Roman Reigns is back on the TV.
Sasha Banks spoke about it on her Chronicle, which was really illuminating. Because I'm not a Sasha fan. In fact, I'm one of the people that's I'm not a Sasha hater, but I don't like a lot of what I've seen from her contextually.
Yeah.
Very clear she's one of the greatest women's wrestlers to ever walk this earth. But contextually, some of the things I don't like that I see, and a lot of that could be being gaslighted about the stuff I read. Or I could be reading too much into it. So very clearly this conversation could be aimed to me as well. But if you watched her Chronicle, she said that she hadn't heard her real name in almost 4 years. She had to stop being Sasha and find Mercedes again. Because they're not the same person.
Yep.
And we convinced ourselves as fans that they are. And some may not even convince themselves of that. Some might blatantly say, I don't care about Mercedes. I only care about Sasha. And that's cool when you paid your money for that 2-3 hour show. For that 2-3 hour show you paid, or for that autograph signing you paid for, or whatever, when it's a business transaction, you are beholden to get Sasha. Once that is done, she has nothing, she's not beholden to you to continue to be Sasha. She has every right to be Mercedes again. And we lose that. That's lost in translation a lot.
Yeah, and again, like I said earlier, these people are humans. Yeah, they may be big stars and they may be on your TV every week. And I know that if I have this character on Twitter, I go by Mags. It was basically a nickname that has ended up becoming like almost like a second person to me. But if I was referred to Mags all the way through my day and I didn't hear the name Darren, I'd be like, there's something going wrong here. And I'd be feeling like mentally pressurized. So imagine that times a million when you've got 4 million followers or whatever, and they're all calling you Sasha Banks, or they're all calling you Alexa Bliss, or they're all calling you Seth Rollins. That is a big toll, and it's people don't understand that they ask so much of these wrestlers, and they're gonna make mistakes. They're gonna be idiots. They're gonna have like breakdowns like this, and it's because they are humans, and that's what it boils down to. And sometimes people kind of forget that.
So you've mentioned the word mistakes a lot. Let's talk about some mistakes. Do you think it's a mistake that AEW hired wrestlers essentially as their executive board? That what I mean by that is that underneath Tony Khan as the owner, operator, and CEO of this company, everybody else underneath that, and I'm sure they have some business people on the legitimate business side, marketing and you know, operations and stuff like that. Cool. But in terms of the wrestling side, there is no Bruce Pritchard. There is no Vince McMahon. Well, I'm not going to go with Vince. No Paul Heyman. No Eric Bischoff. No John Laurinaitis. No Kerry Silkin. You know, no Gabe Sapolsky. None of that. It is literally wrestler A, Cody Rhodes. Wrestler B, Nick Jackson. Wrestler C, Matt Jackson. Wrestler D, Kenny Omega. And... oh, I was about to hate so hard. Let me not do that. And wrestler E, I was going to say wannabe wrestler, but I'm not going to do that today. And wrestler E, Brandi Rhodes, as as the chief brand officer, which is even more important than the EVPs because she's supposed to be the face of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So before we even get into the things that they've said, that they've done, and the controversies involving them, do you think that was a good idea from a business standpoint?
That is a quandary of a question. Short answer, I'm going to say yes. I think it was a good idea.
Okay.
Long answer, I'm going to say that comes with some caveats. We spoke just before we started recording, and in what we said was true. This kind of programming that AEW are doing was built on social media, and the faces of them social medias were the Rhodes, the Bucks, and Kenny Omega. The fact is, without them, AEW would not be a thing. So
completely.
I personally think, yeah, I would have had them as EVPs. What I would say, and I'm going to do another callback to chatting with Chris Pinero from the Bearded podcast. He came up with a good analogy about it. He said, AEW right now is kind of like a rock band. And he said, you've got all these stars. You've got your bassist, you've got your lead guitar, you've got your drummer, all amazing stars, but you haven't got someone there conducting them. And that's what they need. They've got someone who's amazing at marketing in Cody Rhodes. You've got Kenny Omega, who quite possibly might be the best wrestler to ever walk the face of the earth. But they need somebody to control them. And the fact is, they're executive vice presidents. Mm-hmm. We need someone to be presidential. They need a Vince McMahon. As much as it's horrible to say that, and AEW fans are going to be up in arms, we don't want a Vince McMahon, Vince McMahon's the devil, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, he controls his team. And right now, there is no control. And this is my issue with AEW. It's that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And one of them says something and the rest are putting out fires all the time. And that's the problem with me. It's almost like it's Bush League. And these are the potentially the second biggest wrestling organization in the West. So, yeah, I would have them as EVPs, but I think they need a stronger leader to basically take charge. And I don't know if Tony Khan is that guy. I think maybe he's too much of a fan, or maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he feels he's like beholden to the elite, because without them, the brand isn't a brand. I don't know. Maybe he's going to start clamping down on him when they've got a TV show running. I don't know. But the worst about AEW is the social media, and that was actually the best thing about him in the first place. So
it's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very much a double-edged sword for All Elite Wrestling. Is they're so good at promoting on social media, but then they'll say something or do something and it just pisses a lot of fans off. But then in another breath, there's a lot of fans who will absolutely eat up everything they say. So,
but we just talked about staying culture and about how people gravitate to people regardless if they do good, bad, or indifferent because they're in love with the characters. That's no more prevalent than with the elite.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, some of the things that they've said and they've done, literally, people, we'll get into it a little deeper. I want to touch on something you said just a second ago, it does feel like they're flying by the seat of their pants. And I love the band analogy, because you can very clearly say that All Elite is the new indie rock band. I'm not in the rock scene right now, so let's say like maybe 2009 Vampire Weekend. Mm-hmm. And the WWE, you can say it's Kiss. Or AC/DC, or the Rolling Stones, one of these old-ass bands that play the same set every month, every week, but you know what you're going to get, you know how the show is, and every now and then they'll put something new in there just because, why not, right?
Yep.
So I like that analogy, but the conductor one doesn't resonate with me. What I hearken to is you have and I'm going to be honest here. I'm not going to be biased, because I can have a bias because I don't like the things they've done. So that does affect me. But I'm biased. You have an excellent lead singer in Cody. You have an excellent lead guitarist in Kenny Omega. You have an excellent drummer, bassist, and the Bucks. And you can say that you got Brandy on the keys. Those five do so much good in their fields. But they don't have a manager.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a person booking them in the right spots. They don't have a person saying, look, I know you want to do 5 shows in 5 days. That's not smart. We're not going to do. They don't have that. And, you know, it's almost like Tony and, man, this is going to sound like it's going to sound bad. I don't mean to be offensive, but it's almost like he's a money mark. It's almost like the Carneys got the money from the billionaire and they're running the show. Mm-hmm. And I know Tony is very proficient in business. His dad is a multi-billionaire. Tony actually works for the Jaguars. So, like, I know he understands in the bare basic bones what business is. But he's so invested in this personally. And not from a personal standpoint of, I want to win like Vince was. But from a personal standpoint of, I want to change this. And I want to be a fan. I want what I liked when I was 12. That it's almost clouding the potential of the brand of me.
Yep. I totally agree.
And Cody's doing the same thing, because I said, man, dog, I said this to you, 2 years ago? Cody's just playing Dusty Cosplay.
Yep.
Tell me he's not.
Yeah, he is.
What's the name of Conrad's festival is what? Starcast.
Yep. He got all the rights to a lot of Dusty's wrestling, the stuff he invented. I think he get Halloween Havoc. He got the rights to Halloween Havoc.
Did he get them?
Stuff like that. Yeah, I think so. And okay. I remember he put a tweet out saying, people were asking whether these were going to be AEW shows, and he said, "No, I'm just bringing the cows home to the ranch kind of thing." I feel for him in that respect, because he has got one of the biggest shadows to live under in the wrestling world, and it can be hard to become your own person. So maybe sometimes he does kind of like make mistakes, or even, like you said, fly by the seat of his pants, because he wants to be Cody Rhodes, not Dusty Rhodes' son.
Or Dustin. His brother, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Again, we spoke about mistakes. I don't think either one of us begrudges mistakes, and I guess this is where we can get into kind of the meat of the meal. Mm-hmm. I don't think either of us begrudge mistakes, but when it comes to these five in particular, they love to kind of say things. Well, so before we get to what they say, they are really running this line of dichotomy where they're literally jumping, they're teeter-tottering on it of, today I'm going to be speaking as Cody Rhodes, the wrestler. Today I'm going to be speaking as Cody Rhodes, the executive vice president of a business. Today I'm going to be speaking as Cody Rhodes, the book, like, they jump and play on this line. Case in point, number one, the TV deal for AEW in the United Kingdom. You, my brother, are a card-carrying hopefully not gonna destroy United Kingdom person. United Kingdom resident.
I certainly am. So for my sins.
So I can have all the outrage or feel about it all I want, but ultimately I have a cable subscription. It's totally different over here. So you want to explain kind of to the people what the deal is?
Yeah, and there's a lot of I wouldn't say lies, but there's a lot of misconceptions about the UK TV scene. A lot of people thinking that, well, the main thing that I saw on wrestling Twitter is British fans shouldn't be complaining because we've still got it for free, which technically it is on what we would call a free-to-air show channel, but I don't know how it is in on your side of the pond, but over here, before you even get TV, you have to buy something called a TV license, which is about £150 for the year, which will probably be about $130, something like that.
Okay.
Now, that's not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but it does take away the fact that people were saying that this is a free, we're getting it for free, because we're not getting it for free.
Okay.
Second of all, the issue I had is, personally, I'm on social media a lot. I have podcasts. It's beneficial for me to keep up to date with what's going on in the wrestling world via podcast, via Twitter for the podcast. In this day and age, being 4 days away from it being broadcasted live in America, it may as well be a year. Because there's no way I can keep off wrestling Twitter for 4 days. Not a chance. Because otherwise my podcasts are dead in the water.
To what you're saying, what Darren is saying, for those listening who actually don't know what he's alluding to, the AEW deal, the original deal, was they made a deal with the quote-unquote free-to-air channel ITV4. To air AEW Dynamite on Sundays in the UK at 8:20 a.m. when it airs worldwide on Wednesday evenings, which would be Thursday morning for you guys.
Yeah.
So essentially it's 4 days later.
Yeah. Now, we are also getting a clip show, which will air on the Monday before the next show happens on the Wednesday in America. So like the clip show would be like 5 days after the main show. That airs at night. That will be more like TV 14 almost, but it is a cut down clip show. So my issue with this whole situation is when Cody made a statement, I think it was a press conference, a Starcast.
Yeah.
He said, you want to see our TV deal with RTV? I can't really reveal much, but compared to us, WWE's TV deal sucks.
In the UK?
Now, yeah, in the UK. Now, potentially, and I think this is where AEW are kind of have had the wool pulled over their eyes by the TV company, RTV, potentially every person in Britain can get RTV4, potentially. But the reality is their shows get sub 200,000 viewers on average. Wow. Now, yeah, it's not a popular show. It's not a popular channel, should I say. For instance, when the TV deal was announced, I weren't expecting a Wednesday night like broadcast. I wouldn't have been able to watch it because it's at stupid o'clock in the morning over here in Britain. But I was kind of expecting maybe they would have like it on the day after, on the Thursday.
Yeah.
Which, to me, obviously knowing that what programs RTV broadcast on RTV4, they have a sports block on Thursdays. They have like they'll have Champions League football, or if it's not the football season, they'll have stuff like Speedway or motor racing, and then that could have been the perfect block to fit in AEW.
And I'm sorry if I may interject real quick. Isn't there a thing where they can't show American commercials? They have to show commercials from the network.
Right.
which is why that it would make sense to give it a day to cut that.
But, we'll go into that. The issue that Tony has said was the problem between showing it live was that in America you have their deal is 16 minutes of advertising
per hour.
Yeah, and in Britain through via Ofcom regulations, Ofcom is the governing body for TV broadcasting in Britain, their regulation says that there can only be a maximum of 12 minutes per hour. Now, the way WWE gets around this in the UK is with their 16 minutes of advertising, they'll show 2 minutes of the logo before an advertising break in the UK. They'll show 2 minutes of the logo after an advertising break in the UK. So they kind of like balance it out. They'll get 12 minutes of UK adverts and 4 minutes of showing a logo over that hour. Now, that's something AEW could have done. They obviously chose not to. The reason I said that I think they've had the wool pulled over their eyes is they've been duped or they've been dazzled by this potential amount of viewers. We have got access to 60 million people, 60 million like potential viewers, when in actuality it's sub 200,000. And getting back to the Thursday, like I said, they have a sports block, but that sports block ends at 9 p.m. UK time, which would be the ideal time to put on AEW 9 till 11. What do you think they run in that block between 9 and 11?
WWE?
Absolutely not. They run reruns of a show called Last Man Standing, the Tim Allen comedy.
No lie, really?
Right, that comes after the sport. How many viewers on average does that show get?
Oh God, nothing. Can't get anything.
40,000 to 50,000.
That's
average.
That's YouTube TV numbers.
Exactly. So RTV could have easily bumped that out of the way and moved it later on. I mean, these are reruns from a show from 8 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could have been bumped AW put in the way. But they've decided on this Sunday morning show. And again, it's if we didn't get this fart app kind of deal. I mean, the Fight app is basically we can watch it live if we pay for AEW Plus. Everybody outside, I think, America and Canada can get AEW Plus, $5 a month. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's absolute steal. And you can watch it live. That, to me, is absolutely fine.
It's a wonderful fix for the problem that they created, yes.
Yeah, but if you didn't have that deal, there's no legal way you can watch that full AEW show in Britain because the Sunday morning show is going to be heavily edited to make sure that it's suitable for kids to watch at that time in the morning. And then if you wait till the Monday recap show, they're cutting an hour out of the show. So either way, you can't watch the full live show without getting this TV deal app, which I would have got anyway because I don't want to watch a show at 8 o'clock in the morning and I certainly ain't going to watch it at midnight on a Monday. So that to me kind of works. And I would have been happy at that had they not said our TV deal is going to blow WWE's out the water. That's the issue for me. That I want AEW to succeed. Absolutely. I don't want to come off as I am an AEW hater. Absolutely not. Some of my favourite wrestlers in the whole world are in that company. Like the likes of Kenny Omega. I want that guy, Jericho, my goat of wrestlers. I want this company to succeed. But I don't like being lied to. And that's the issue for me. It's that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And they're having to put out fires of their own creation because they just have no structural leader. And they almost as if they're in this war with WWE and they've got to say something to get fans like excited and riled up. But there's actually no plan behind what they said. And then they're having to deal with it on the fly. And that's the worry for me. And I think that's the argument that I saw a lot on Twitter, that people are disappointed that they've been duped. Mm-hmm. That they're not going to get this show live, or they're not going to get a show like within 24 hours, because this show was built on social media. We've said it time and time again. This show was built on social media. So you cannot expect UK fans who have got your show, who know about your show through social media, to not sit there on social media and go, oh, well, I knew the results on Thursday. Why am I going to sit there on a Saturday? Why am I going to get up early on a Sunday morning to watch that show? You're not. The fact is, you're not. Within hours of that show airing in America, I'll be able to go on Twitter or YouTube or Dailymotion. I'll be able to watch everything I want to watch. Everything I want to watch, so I am not going to watch that show. So that show is going to get zero ratings. In that slot right now, they get less than 10,000 views on RTV4. And they're not going to get much more than that on when AEW's there. They may do for the first few weeks because they've got a passionate fan base who are going to give them the opportunity.
And it's
But when it comes to a month down the line and people have said, are finding out the results on a Thursday now or on a Wednesday night or Thursday morning, they're not going to get up on a Sunday. That's their day off from work. They're not going to get up. Some of them might have got up to watch UFC the night before. I mean, I know that's what I'll do. I watch UFC. I've got a UFC podcast. UFC ends sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning here in the UK. I'm not staying up another 2 hours to sit through a butchered show when I knew the results 4 days ago. Yeah, it's just it just made no sense to me. The deal is absolutely nonsensical.
Can I ask you one more question involving this for kind of context?
Mm-hmm.
So it was recently, a few months ago, it was kind of a big thing with WWE moving from Sky to BT Sports.
Yep.
And you have been pretty adamant about, even though ITV is potentially free to air, nobody watches it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of explain to me the pros and the cons or the differences between the three channels from not just a viewership standpoint, but like a kind of a prestige standpoint?
Yeah. Sky Sports, where WWE is right now, and BT Sports they're what we call premiums. You can't get them free to air. You have to have some sort of cable package or a satellite package to be able to get them. So the people who are going to get Sky Sports or BT Sports are actively looking for them channels. They're willing to go out and pay for them channels, whether that's for wrestling, whether that's for
football,
whatever kind of sport. Yeah, they may not watch wrestling, but they may get it for the football. But you have to actively go out and get those channels. So if you're a WWE fan, you pay for them channels. It's as simple as that, and you watch that product. So technically, RTV4 has the better potential to get viewers because anyone can get them. I can literally buy a TV from the local hardware store, hook it up to an aerial, and I can get RTV4. If I wanted to get WWE, I'd then have to contact a cable provider, get them to send some equipment, and get cable. But if you look at the average viewers, more people watch the programs on BT Sports and on Sky Sports than they do RTV4.
Hmm.
Because RTV4 is not a popular channel. They'll have, in football season, it'll have very small European like Champions League matches. They won't usually be English or Scottish or anything like that. It's usually like a country from Latvia against a team from Greece, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then we have like speedways. I mean, speedway is not a popular sport over here. So they're not like big, like viewer attracting shows. And then they have reruns of programs that are sometimes up to 30 years old. So it's never going to be a big like viewing platform for AEW, and I kind of don't see where AEW fits in to that channel. But
you said it. They fit in because they probably got duped by the potential, right? That's what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of how that business deal went down, but RTV, the main RTV One channel is if it's not number one, it's number 1A. In the UK, it's between that and BBC One. They usually go head to head to see who gets the most viewers. I honestly think that someone in AEW has been told that they're getting show on RTV One, just like World of Sport did. World of Sport, when that was on RTV One, I think it got about 1.6 million viewers. It kind of leveled out to just under a million, which for a wrestling show in the UK is phenomenal numbers. Sure. Absolutely phenomenal. Sure. But it's whether RTV can sell the advertising. And I think that's the crux of the problem. Here in the UK, wrestling is still quite a niche product. And if RTV struggle to sell the advertising for World of Sport, are they worried that they're going to sell the advertising for AEW? Maybe that's the issue. But the TV deal is nowhere near as good as WWE's, and that's a fact. Yeah. Because the people who get BT Sport tend to get it because they want to watch sport. Mm-hmm. The people who are on RTV4, they're not going to know about wrestling. And then you can't even say that they're going to attract casual fans, because who is casually looking for wrestling at 8:20 on a Sunday morning?
That's a fair point. So
who's casually looking for wrestling at 1 o'clock on a Monday night? You know, I just don't see any benefit to these time slots whatsoever.
And you know what? If I'm honest with you, there was a Twitter kind of a Twitter user. God, I can't remember his name, and I like to cite people's names. I can't remember his name, but when I describe it, you'll know. But kind of broke down the issues of the ITV thing with the, speaking of the commercial breaks and all that, and a bunch of different, like, concrete stuff. And Tony Khan responded to it, and like in the reading, you could kind of tell like Tony wasn't quite sold on it. In fact, one thing he said, I don't think it's verbatim, but he did say, in fact, that he said somebody from ITV got a little excited and announced the deal.
Yeah,
ready for them to announce it.
Yeah, I think it dropped about 5 o'clock here.
Yeah.
And then it got quickly deleted, and then obviously the cat was out of the bag. So
everybody. Forever.
Yep, exactly. And to be fair to Tony Khan, I mean, I know we're there. It sounds like we're bashing him, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Tony Khan, because he's like us, he's a wrestling fan, and he has come out and said, we will do our very best to make sure that we eventually get this live. But in saying that, what he needs to be doing is just like pulling the reins back on his EVPs and getting them to not maybe make promises that they can't actually meet.
Can we go a little deeper into that? And this isn't all just this week, but I just, off the top of my head, and I'm sure you'll remember some, I wonder, people hear this, and if you are a fully functioning, thinking person, unbiasedly, you're going to hear this and say, okay, I see the merit of what they're saying. This isn't an attack on anybody. They're just speaking the facts. Boom. Then you're going to have the fans, and then even worse, the stands, who are just going to hear us not saying nothing but glowing positive things, and they're going to take umbrage. So I want to give some context to what we mean about the EVPs, and Brandy's not EVP. Brandy, actually, she's an officer, which should be higher than EVP. But Chief Brand Officer, they've said some of the things that they've said in various mediums, particularly verbally, that aren't true, and they've had to be walked back. They said they were going to do equal pay. They've had to walk that back.
Mm-hmm.
They said everybody was going to have health insurance. Tony had to walk that back. They said that they were going to have the best TV deal in the UK. They had to walk that back. They said that the whole chair thing. You know, Cody got hit with a chair in the head. Then they said, oh, well, we're not going to do that anymore. The Bucks come out and broke down the story and gave the game away. Said they're not going to use it anymore, while simultaneously using the chair shot to build a match.
Yep, and also they said it was a gimmick chair, which
gave the game away.
Yeah,
gave the game away. Like there is a list, and these off the top of my head, I had it written down at one point. I deleted it because it was just getting too big. But there's a list, literally just every single thing that they're doing, the pot situation. Here's one that I went on a rant on the most recent episode of The Outsider's Edge that bothers me to my soul. And I'd actually like to get your opinion on it. The Kylie Rae situation is the most perplexing situation I've ever seen in my life in wrestling. I'm 31 years old, and I've never seen a more perplexing situation than the Kylie Rae situation. The Daniel Bryan situation when he had to retire made more sense. The CM Punk situation makes more sense. Like, Roosh and Dragon Lee getting fired after Roosh wins the world championship makes more sense. I don't understand the Kylie Rae situation. Kylie Rae, again, I'm a Houstonian. Kylie Rae is from Chicago, but did a huge stint and got her biggest popularity down here in Houston. Reality Wrestling, Booker T, shout out to the Road. Mm-hmm. Love me some Kylie Rae. One of the best female wrestlers in the world. But, of course, she's a woman, so I want to throw that out there, too. One of the best wrestlers in the world. She was promoted, along with Britt, as their top female star.
Yep.
Right? Even over Nyla. Because when in the press conference that set the match, the first match for the women set up, was Kylie versus Nyla. And then they threw Britt in later, and they threw Awesome Kong in that night. But even in the same infamous press conference where Cody said the UK deal is better than WWE's, he dissed Bayley and said that Bayley was a fake wannabe Kylie Rae pretending to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, Kylie Rae had a major match at Double or Nothing, had pyro, had shirts, the whole nine. You never saw her again. Months later, nobody said anything. Somebody asked after All Out, where's Kylie? Well, she asked for a release, we let her go. It's completely amicable. Nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, even WWE give more information on that when they do their future endeavoring, or if they don't, it gets out through the leaks and through the dirt sheets and stuff like that, or the what cultures and stuff like that. But yeah, nothing of it came at all.
At least they announced their endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
The AEW didn't announce it. Sean Ross Sapp or whoever was had to ask, is Kylie Rae still working here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it's going back to what we said, that it's almost like they're flying by the seat of the pants. They don't have a protocol in place for when a wrestler gets released or something happens. And again, you kind of like touched on the Pac situation. They knew his deal with Dragon Gate when they agreed to sign him. They knew that he didn't want to lose because he didn't want to damage the prestige of Dragon Gate. So then why sign him for a kickoff? Why put him at the top of the card? Why promote him to being in this big match, knowing that you was going to have him lose and he wasn't going to lose? And he got a lot of flack for that. Pat got an absolute lot of flack for that, that he took through his toys out the pram and that he'd quit. And nobody from AEW corrected anybody. They let everybody believe that Pac had thrown his toys out of the pram. Nobody said that we had a bit of a miscommunication with the deal. And that's kind of, again, it's going back to the letting people down because they're not being honest, or they're flat out telling lies, or they're just being so oblivious to letting these fans know. And we're in a world where everybody wants to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have that protocol in place. If a wrestler is injured, if a wrestler quits, if a wrestler is future endeavor, for whatever reason, you need to get them facts out. It shouldn't take a wrestling journalist to have to ask that question for there to be any information come out. And like you said, all they said was it was an amicable split. There was nothing. She went off the radar. She disappeared. Everybody was worried about where she'd gone. I tend to watch that Cultaholic and What Culture videos when I've got time to get like a bit of wrestling news, and they have no idea. And they're usually quite on the button because they scour all the dirt sheets and they have links with all these journalists.
Sure. Sure.
So they kind of do get a lot of the information, and nobody knew. And that is a worry. It's a worry that these are potentially the second biggest wrestling organization in the Western Hemisphere. And I've been to shows in England with 100 people in the crowd that that run the game better than these guys are doing. And that's a worry.
I will say this. I'm not worried about their wrestling portion of their shows.
No, I think it'll be on par with NXT. I think it will be one of the best wrestling products out there.
100%. And I'm not worried about the structure of the wrestling in terms of the business part, strictly involving wrestling, because even...
I am a little bit worried about it.
Well, so, okay, yeah, I am too. I'm not going to lie. Because the boys are booking the boys. And
That's my massive concern.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's good. You're right. Let me walk that back. You're right. And, you know, I have a lot of trust in Billy Gunn, Dean Malenko, and Arn Anderson and these guys. I do. But they're not going to override the EVPs. And Cody books the men, the Bucks book the tags, and Omega books the women. So, they're not going to override that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, even worse than that, and you might feel differently about this, but it's not just that the boys are booking the boys, but everybody essentially has creative control. So I can say what I want, do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You on national television, big dog. Like, you know, the day someone comes out and says a cuss word that's worse than you're supposed to, and then creative control doesn't just extend to what you say. John Moxley wanted to go do a bid in New Japan, and he's still the current New Japan IWGP US Heavyweight Champion. Goes and does the G1. And gets another major injury, and then has to walk out of, quite frankly, maybe their biggest highly promoted match, Moxley mm-hmm. versus Omega. And again, I can't be mad at Moxley for getting hurt. Injuries happen, you know. But one would think if AEW kept their guy that they signed to only work AEW dates. There's an option that if he doesn't work 20 days in 35, he doesn't get that elbow injury again.
Yeah.
Am I off base on that?
No, and I think that kind of links to another issue that's been going on around the Twitter sphere recently. I don't know if you'll have heard much about it, but there's a company called Southside Wrestling.
Yes, I've heard about it.
Now, WWE pulled a lot of their talent apparently, I've heard rumors it's because that Southside couldn't afford the WWE's talent fees, but then I'm also hearing that it's WWE pulling their talent. So there's a lot of drama up in the air there, and then Cody's obviously come in and swooped in and saved the day. All power to him.
He white-knighted it.
Absolutely. All power to him for saving the company. Whether he's done it for the reasons that he said he's done it for, that's another debate, I suppose. But my issue with that is a lot of wrestling fans were shitting on the WWE for pulling their guys. But the fact is, you've just made that point. AEW have a guy in Moxley who got injured in another company and they now cannot use him. WWE, if any of their guys got injured in that Southside show, they now cannot use them guys. And they're paying them guys. That's their talent. So if whatever job you work at, your company says, we're going to loan you out to another company, and you then hurt your back and you're out for 6 months, your company's not going to pay your salary. Your company's going to say, you got injured on their time, that's on their business. And so I can agree with WWE's stance on this, that they want to pull their talent because it's their talent. They're investing the money in these guys, and they're no use to them if they get injured in a show in the middle of England, and it's not even a WWE show. So
I love that word you used, investment. These wrestlers are an investment, and it's not just the salary you pay them. Mm-hmm. We get caught up on that. You know what it is? It's all the marketing you put to put these guys on TV shows, T-shirts, trucks, billboards, the size of buildings, press, right? It's everything that goes into building a star, so you have to worry about building to creating merch for him. You have to worry about creating a song for him, graphics. Like, There's so much that goes into building a star that is truly an investment. And then if they did do TV time, let's say, I know a lot of people seem to think that WWE flies by the seat of their pants, which in some cases might be the truth. But let's say that every company books at least 3 months out. That is potentially, at the minimum, 12 weeks, at the maximum, 15 weeks of episodic TV. If that dude is involved in all 15 of those weeks, he gone?
Yep. Exactly. And AEW had that when they... with Moxley getting injured, and then he was part of that biggest match, and then they couldn't have that biggest match. So that to me would have made more sense that AEW said, if you're signing with us and we're paying your health insurance in inverted commas, because we don't know what the deal is with that, whether it's actually true or not. Yeah, if they've hired a wrestler, that guy should be like contracted to that person, and if you're letting that contracted wrestler go out, it more fool you if you're building a storyline around them and that dude gets injured.
Well, and we can go even a little deeper in, because I think the crux of our conversation is the things that the AEW leadership says that doesn't live up, right? I believe Cody mentioned a lot about the fact that wrestlers are independent contractors, and we're going to kill that, they're going to be employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How is he your employee when you let him go sign another deal with another company and work at another company? It's not an employee. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
I can't work full-time for Google and Apple at the same time. They're not going to let me do that.
Nope, exactly.
You know, they're just not going to let me do that. Now, you know... I could work part-time anywhere I want. Like, I'm not... My life isn't owed to Google, as Moxley's life isn't owed to AEW. But if you believe what the rumors were or what the reports were, Moxley signed with New Japan first, then signed AEW as the primary. And the proof in that is, when they had the G1's climax in Dallas, AEW said, nah, bro, that's on TV. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they could put the kibosh on that. So, very clearly, you had creative control in how he was used over there. Guess not.
No, exactly.
Like, it's so confusing. Like, I don't understand. And then, thank goodness, Pac, whether they had already had that planned, whether he was going to be at the show or not, whatever it was, thank goodness Pac was able to show up and save them, and not save the match, because it was a good match, but to save the spot, letting Omega face somebody of some prestige.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
can you imagine their first big show and like, hey, so Kenny Omega, best wrestler in the world, is just sitting there chilling.
Yeah. Or they get out one of the lower end talents, like maybe he would have ended up facing Dustin Rhodes, or maybe he would have ended up having to face like Angelico or something like
Kenny,
that.
Kenny Omega versus Brandon Cutler. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, I don't want to be sounding like I'm shitting on AEW, because I want these guys to succeed. That's, I can't make that abundantly clear. I just think they need to just act with a little bit of professionalism sometimes. If you want to be chasing WWE, and as much as people deny it, or as much as they say that they're not at war and they're not competing with WWE, their aim is to be as big as WWE in the long term. If you want to be that, act like that from day one. Stop with the silliness, stop with the EVP saying stuff that the rest of the company just can't back up. Act like a professional wrestling company. These guys are the second, and I'm repeating myself again, these are the second biggest wrestling promotion in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Act like the second biggest promotion in the Western Hemisphere. Here end my TED Talk.
I'm Derek Kirkby. That's been my time. I have one more question for you. We can get out of here, and it's actually about WWE.
Go for it.
You, again, are a card-carrying Brit.
I am. Allegedly.
Well, yeah, that's what you tell me. As far as I'm concerned, you're probably somewhere in New York, but I hear a lot of controversy about how WWE has quote unquote raided and killed the British wrestling scene. You talk to me, sir, because it doesn't seem like it to me, but I'm not there.
I've had a couple of chats with people about this. I had a chat recently with Omega Luke. I think that episode of Why We Watch is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And we discussed about the British wrestling scene. Obviously, there's been some big companies collapsing recently. We had the issue with Southside. We've had the issue with Defiant going under. And then obviously people are looking for blame, and they're blaming this NXT UK. We've also got like the concerns that they've got purchasing rights over Progress, so anytime they see fit, they can buy Progress out and essentially close it down. They're pulling the talent from this show, they're pulling the talent from that show. They're only working with the bigger companies like RCW and OTT. For me, the wrestling scene is in Britain is in a period of transition. Wrestling in Britain is in a cycle where it's the hottest it's been for a long time, since the 80s, since the likes of Big Daddy and Kendo Nagasaki, Giant Haystack, stuff like that. Wrestling in Britain is hot. And WWE pulling their stars and like bringing them all under this NXT UK banner, when it was first announced, I had big fears for the British scene. I said it on countless podcasts. I said it out on Twitter. Said this potentially could be the death knell for the British scene. And my concern were they were going to pull these big stars, and then the stars that were coming underneath were too green, or they weren't big enough names to attract attention, and some companies would go under. And we've kind of seen that. That has happened. There is companies that have gone under, but there's also been companies that have evolved, and they've known that this is happening. They've known that WWE are eventually going to pull these talents, so they've made their own talents. They've brought in their own stars. I mean, you've got the likes of Progress, who have had the new I forget the name of it now, the New Beginnings tournament, where they have all these unnamed wrestlers, and there's some absolutely monumental talent coming through in the UK. So what we've kind of seen is companies like Breed, Riptide, Pro Wrestling Eve, Reach. We've got companies like, not far away from me, PCW. These guys are all making their own stars, and I think what we tend to moving towards are these little companies are going to be the feeder for the likes of Progress, for the likes of RCW, for the likes of OTT, who are going to be the feeder for the NXT UKs, who are now going to be the feeder for the NXT Black and Gold and the NXT and the main rosters of Raw and SmackDown. So it's kind of like if you evolve your wrestling company to become like part of this this almost conveyor belt of talent, you're going to thrive, because these wrestlers need places to work, and the mentality of fans now is they would watch any wrestling in Britain whatsoever. It's just that hot. So you have these young, hungry talents who have this opportunity to make stars of themselves. They're getting more ring time because these WWE talents are not the headline of the show, so the time is spread up against between all the rest of the matches. They're being able to character build, they've been able to like hone the skills in the ring, and they're becoming the talent that NXT UK are looking at to fill their roster. So it's kind of in that period where wrestling companies are evolving to fit in with NXT UK, rather than seeing NXT UK as the big bad WWE company that's coming in to wreck everything, if you understand what I mean.
No, I do, and that's always been my opinion on the whole big company versus independent scene. Because, again, I've mentioned it earlier, but my home promotion promotion that I've actually worked for, a promotion that I've actually was in the process of talking, of training and signing with, Rally of Wrestling. They aren't the sole trainers, but they're the final essential trainers of Kylie Rae, Ember Moon, The Usos, Brennan Williams, a.k.a. Dio Madden, who is the new Raw color commentator. Like, a lot of people have come from... There's a lot of people now coming up. There's a kid by the name of Gino, Ruthless Ryan Davidson, Hyann. Like, a lot of really hot people right now either came from here or have worked here in the indies over the past few years. And you see them go, and it sucks to see it, but my thought process was always this. If Pete Dunne stayed in Progress until he was... Dude is out of 25. He stayed there for another 10 years. That's not going to help Pete, and it's not going to help Progress. It's only going to hurt them. You need the guy that's going to replace Pete. You need the guy that's going to replace Walter. You need the guy that's going to replace... He's not signed to WWE, but David Starr. You need these next guys to come up, and they can't come up if the guys in front of them are there. I'll give you a better example. All I hear about main roster WWE is, well, man, there's no superstars now because the old superstars keep coming back. It's the same thing on the indies. It's the same thing on the indies. If you're going to be mad about Undertaker coming back and taking opportunities from people, and CM Punk wasn't able to main event WrestleMania because The Rock came back. Well, how you think that, I don't know some of these younger cats, but I'm going to use a guy who just left. LP, El Phantasmo, who worked in the indies for years and now was finally getting a real shot in New Japan. How do you think he felt all those years when he was third, fourth match on the card?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that, like, there's a complaint about it. Now, the real complaints I understand, I think the Evolve conversation is an interesting one, because WWE has essentially went into business with Evolve. But they're even giving back, because the Street Profits have been excellent over the past 6 months, would you say?
Yeah.
You know what bred that excellence? They did 6 months in Evolve.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times did WWE send guys over to Evolve?
They still are.
We spoke about them pulling talent, and they don't have to do that for Evolve. They didn't have to risk that talent getting injured for Evolve. I mean, Velveteen Dream was there not long ago. Roddy Strong's been there. Adam Cole's wrestled there. I just don't see WWE as this big bad monster. At the end of the day, they are always going to need talent coming through the pipe. Always. That's just the way wrestling is. And how do these young talents get a chance at being in the WWE? By honing their craft in these little companies. And because WWE might have a performance centre, they might have a performance centre in the UK, but it doesn't cover all the talent that WWE are going to need. There's not enough talent comes through the performance centres to cover what WWE need in a year for the roster. So they are going to want these talents who have come through these little companies to go to their performance centre and then prepare them for going on TV. So I don't see WWE as this big, bad, we want to destroy everything kind of wrestling company, because they need these little companies to survive, to provide them with talent in the future.
You want to talk about big companies killing companies? Now, this is Hayden. This is going to sound like Hayden, but it's factual. AEW essentially killed the Ring of Honor. Everybody took everybody from Ring of Honor. AEW tried to kill New Japan.
And Impact.
Well, you just took it out of my mouth. So for a company that's supposed to be about inclusivity, which we know isn't true, it's supposed to be about we are wrestling and helping and everybody else in this together. They literally, and please understand, this is not an exaggeration, stole Impact's entire production company from underneath their noses. Impact just got a decent TV deal for once. So, but we're all together.
By buying the TV company.
Look, man, you get it how you live it, right?
Yeah, you gotta, exactly, yeah.
You get it how you live it. It is what it is, yeah. You know? If I want ice cream bars and they won't, and nobody will give me none, if I buy the ice cream bar company, I got ice cream bars.
Exactly, that's right. What it's it fair is. Play. Yeah.
Man, I love talking to you, and anytime I get a chance to talk to you and kind of break some stuff down, it's cool. I really enjoy going into deeper topics with you, because we always see things similarly but come at it from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a pleasure and an honor to speak with you, and I really hope people listen to this and don't take all of it as hating, because there was a few parts I hated, but we really try to take an unbiased look at the wrestling world, and I know I can speak for you, but I'm not gonna speak for you. I'm gonna let you speak for yourself. What I try to do as a wrestling mind, as a wrestling fan, as a podcaster or a writer, especially on our show The Edge, The Outsider's Edge, we always try to take a step back and look at things unbiased and kind of clear the air of all the bullshit and call people out on what they need to be called out on, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether we like it or not. I have talked a whole bunch of stuff about AEW and the things I don't like about them, but I bought All In. I had a ticket All In, but I couldn't go. I bought Double or Nothing. I bought All Out. I watched Fighter Fest live. Signed up to Bleacher Report live to do it. I watched Fight for the Fallen live. I'm going to watch AEW after NXT. But I am a person who stands. I support. And I'm going to give my all and give things a chance. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to sit here and kiss ass for no reason. I'm a WWE homer. Sure, call me that. But you know what? They fucked over Luke Harper, and I danced like a motherfucker when Luke Harper came back. Because they screwed. They tried to ruin that man's career.
Mm-hmm.
And he back. And I'm happy. I call a spade a spade. So I hope when you guys are listening to this, I hope you take it from the vantage point that we are just two regular fans watching and reporting on what we see unbiasedly.
Yep, and I kind of want to almost disagree with you a little bit about something there. We do have a lot of similar views, but we also have a lot of wildly differing views.
Good point.
And the thing is, we can bring these to the table. We can argue them out. And we can still leave on the same level that we came to this argument in as friends. We may not even change each other's opinion. We may be more invested in our own opinion, but we still leave as friends and as wrestling fans. And again, I want to reiterate, I want AEW to be as big a success as it can be. Like you, I watched All In. I paid for Fighter Fest. I paid for Fight for the Fallen because these shows weren't free in the UK. We had to buy that shit. I paid for All Out. I'm going to pay for the Fight Pass because AEW on a Sunday morning does not vibe with me. AEW on a Monday night does not vibe with me. I'm going to get the Fight Pass. I want this company to succeed. I just don't like being lied to, and that's my issue with it. If you're going to be the biggest or aim to be the biggest company in the world of wrestling, you've got to be, and I'm going to steal your gimmick here, you have got to be consistent. I cannot put up with the bullshit that Cody says one thing and then Tony Khan has to fight that fire to put it out because he's lied, or Tony Khan says one thing and RTV have to fight that fire to put that out. Be consistent. If you do not know the truth, do not say anything until you know that truth. Facts. But yeah, I want AEW to be a success. I absolutely love talking with you, Ray. We should do this way more often than we do. We kind of like disappear from each other's lives for weeks on end, and then we come together and it's like we've never been apart. I think you've got a great man for the business. I think you've got some great thoughts, and I love the way you break stuff down. I've said this to you time and time again. I love the way you analyze stuff. I love the way you approach. I wouldn't say arguments, I'd say debates, and I've told you that you have brought me round to your way of thinking, because you come with facts, you come with statistics, you come with analysis, and that I've always really respected that about you. Yeah, we should do this way more often. And Kyle and Ricky, if you want to get in on this shit, get in on it, because we could do with some more voices on this show, definitely.
Kyle and Ricky were supposed to be on this. They both wanted to be a part of this, but they both had things they had to do with their significant others or whatnot, which is fine. It's all love from my end, brother. Tell them where they can find you, man.
Yeah, just before I do that, I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to someone who I know is having a little bit of a hard time. I'm not going to go into detail with it. I've spoke to Ray. Wilf, if you do get to listen to this, we're here for you, mate.
Yeah, man. Hit us up if you need us.
Yeah, we're here for you. Don't go suffering alone. But you can find me on the Twitters at DJ Kirby. I have a podcast called Why We Watch. That's on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. My friend here, Ray, has been a guest on that show. I talk to fans. I talk to podcast creators. I talk to basically anybody who's got a vested interest in wrestling and find out why they like wrestling, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, what compelled them to making content regarding wrestling. I then have another show on that same network called The Five Rounds Pod. If you kind of don't like the scripted farting, come and listen to us talk about some actual real farting. That, again, is on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. I have that with my son, Carlos. That's kind of like a bit of it's like a love letter almost to UFC, because we've been big fans for such a long, long time. And then I have another show called the Badlands podcast. It's kind of, there's kind of some issues going on behind the scenes, so I can't really say if it's where it is, because it might not be there. But yeah, follow me on Twitter. That show is definitely going to be around. It'll definitely be dropping an episode next week. I just can't guarantee where that episode is going to drop right now.
It's coming though.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. Again, another one that Ray's been a guest on. We talk about the Mount Rushmores of wrestling, but we don't just cover the GOATs. We cover a different kind of topic every week. And we've actually been kind of branching out recently. We've been doing like little bits of quizzes, and we've been doing me and Paul are planning to do a kind of State of the Union address, where we look at what's good of wrestling in 2019 and what's been bad of wrestling in 2019. So, yeah, come and follow me on Twitter. Check me out. I would absolutely appreciate it.
You can find me at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. And, of course, I am one-third? On some weeks of the Outsider's Edge at Outsider's Edge CS. Shout out to Carl and Kyle. Carl will be around sometime, whenever. We're a part of the Chair Shot Radio Network at thechairshot.com, where you always use your head. I have two things for you before we get out of here, real fast. Number one, just speaking up for my brother Rob Daniels, you were foul in your questions.
Do you know, actually getting onto that, I was asked for them questions months ago, absolutely months ago, and I didn't even remember the questions that when I was listening to the podcast, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I did ask that. Yeah, oh, that were a bit bad.
To give you guys a little context, Ricky and Clyde from the Social Suplex Network are doing a quiz time invitational, and me and a friend of mine, Rob Daniels, were going against each other in the semifinals. Everybody knew I was going to win. And it's no diss to Rob, it's just more of that. Like, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And Rob beat Darren to get to me. So Darren gave him his questions for his chosen category, SummerSlam 2005. I was going to give you just a little context. One of the questions was, there was a man holding a sign in the front row behind King, Coach, and JR. What did the sign say? That is the most foul out of line question.
Oh, it was dirty. I did him dirty. I mean, he beat me, though, to be fair. He beat me by 1 point.
Yeah, I was close.
And going into the last round, I think I was actually in the lead, and my brain went to mush in the round where you have to recall. I think we got the 10 opening, the last 10 opening matches of a WrestleMania. Madman went to absolute mush, and I didn't get one. Even though I had, when we went through him, I knew near enough all of them. But my man went to mush, so yeah. I did him dirty. I had to do him dirty.
It's hilarious, and I got such a kick out of that. Last thing, and we out of here. Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz, who you got?
Whoa, the baddest motherfucker title.
Maybe my favorite fight ever, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I like Masvidal. I love Masvidal, but I like Diaz. I think the winner of that fight is whoever's watching it, to be fair.
we are the winners.
Yeah, that's going to be a badass fight.
I'm buying that card. I'm going to actually pay for that card.
We were talking earlier in the DMs, and over here in the UK, we on BT Sport, which is getting WWE, by the way, I think it's in January, we get the UFC events every week on BT Sport, but they've just started doing like BT Sport box office, which is kind of like double dipping, and me and Carlos aren't kind of best pleased with that, but they're only doing that with 4 events a year, so we get, you guys pay like $60 or whatever it is for a pay-per-view. And we get that basically in our BT Sports package. So I'll definitely be watching that. And you can hear what I think of Diaz and Masvidal on the 5 Rounds podcast on the Visionaries Wrestling Network.
You see, I did that. Hashtag journalism.
You set up our knocking out the park.
anything else you want to say before we get out of here, man?
No, again, I just want to reiterate, I love doing this with you, Ray. I think when we get together, we put the wrestling world to rights, and sometimes it kind of needs it. But to kind of like coin a few phrases from your tag team partner, Kyle, we're just wrestling fans. We're giving our opinion. And if you don't like that, we don't give a fuck.
Fuck off. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see y'all.